A lot of scripture. I don't want to be running all over the place looking for my Bible. I just invite you to keep your Bibles open today, and there's going to be some things that are on the screen. And I'm just going to tell you right from the beginning that you're probably going to end, as you walk out of here today, you'll go, you know, I understood a lot of that, and there was something about that I really needed to hear today. I didn't get all of it, and that's okay, because I don't get all of it either. It's not one of those messages that is sort of really clear, exactly clear. It's just, I know what God is saying about His Spirit, and I guess I'm not trying to apologize from the start, but sometimes it's like I got a whole bunch of stuff I want to put into a package, and you will take a package home. Hopefully it'll be, I'm getting some reverb here. I don't know if you can turn that off or turn the monitors off or what that is, but we're going to just start with Exodus chapter 17. When I don't talk, it's fine. That's better. Thanks. So in the Old Testament, they thought more in terms of pictures than words. And they had this thing called oral tradition where they would speak from a father to his son or from a grandfather to his grandson sometimes, and they would just describe pictures of what God had done. And there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that are picturesque. So you'd get the picture of, like the sea that's parted, you know, with the Egyptians coming behind them. There would just be this picture of water that's parting, and everyone would know what the story was about, right? Oh yeah, that's the story about the Red Sea when God made a way. God made a way for his people. Or the picture of manna snowing down from heaven. They would see that picture, and they would remind each other of that picture, and they'd go, remember that? That's when God provided. That's when God provided us with the manna, with the bread, and then later on with the quail. And there's lots of pictures like that in the Old Testament. Most of them tie into the New Testament. In fact, most of the main pictures tie into Christ. And he is the fulfillment of those pictures in the Old Testament. The pillar of fire would be another one, which is a tie-in into the New Testament of Christ and of the Holy Spirit. As the people, they'd see that picture of the pillar of fire, and they would be reminded that God directed their path, and he provided for them, and he led the way through the wilderness, through the desert. So they thought in terms of pictures, and I want to just touch on one of those pictures today in Exodus 17. And this is the picture of the water that came from the rock. The water that came from the rock. And here's where we read, starting in verse 3. And we kind of do this today, remembering that we're moving into a new year. And it's a time to leave the past behind us. And there's probably more than a few of us here today that are saying, you know, it's time to leave the past behind. I don't want to think about that anymore. I don't want to live there anymore. I don't want to grovel there anymore. I'm ready to move forward. And God, you know what God always says? He says, good, I'm ready to go with you. I don't want you to stay in your past. I'm not asking you to stay there. I want you to move forward. I want you to get out of your old and get into the new. Right? So in that context, we read this story about the water that flowed from the rock. Verse 3, Moses said, why do you quarrel with me? He's talking to the people. And why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water, and they grumbled against Moses, and they said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst? And Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord answered Moses, listen to this. Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock. Now, there was another time when Moses struck the rock and he wasn't supposed to. But this time, God says to Moses, strike the rock. You want water? Strike the rock. And so he says, strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. And so Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? The theme, the motif of a lot of the Old Testament, particularly in Exodus and in some of the other books that are written around that area, it has to do with the desert. There's this desert motif, and we know that the Israelites had to go around in the desert for 40 years, right? It didn't have to be 40 years. It could have been a whole lot shorter. But because of their disobedience, because they just wouldn't listen to God, they just continued to go around in circles and circles and circles until God set them free and finally brought them into the promised land. And there's something about, I think, every generation, including our generation, and probably every generation that precedes us, where we understand desert. We understand that there's some fear even going into a new year because we don't know exactly what's going to come. And sometimes it feels like we're getting into a drier and a drier place. You know, even in our city, there are businesses that are closing. Our economy isn't very good. We know what's going on in the streets. We know how many people who have died from the opioid crisis. And, you know, if you're like me, sometimes you go, well, how much worse can this get? And the answer is quite a lot. And there's a dryness. And not just for those of us moving into 2019. I mean, there's a dryness. If you lived in 1019, there was dryness, there was crises, there was plagues, there were other things that they had to deal with, all of which drawing us to turn to God. Because we can't enter 2019 on our own thinking, you know, we got this thing licked, no problem, that isn't going to work. The only way we can go with any kind of confidence is by doing just what we did today. And by the way, I thought that was really awesome how we worship God, right? Worshiping God, praising God, trusting God, saying, God, you lead us, because if you don't lead us, we're just going to keep going around in circles, and we are tired as a people of going around in circles. And our prayer today, our cry to God today is, God, lead us where you want us to go. You have a purpose. You have a plan. You are way smarter than our pastor. And that's true. He's way smarter than any of us, by the way. Right? So you lead us, God. Show us where you want us to be. Show us what you want us to do. You lead us, and if you lead us, we'll follow you, and we will not be afraid. When you're in the desert, and here's maybe some of you are really feeling that particular today, and I've talked to some people, and they go, you know, I'm afraid of the new year. Some of you right here today, your jobs are either terminated or they're barely working. You're hardly getting any hours. And there's other uncertainties that go on in our lives. And one of the things that happens about being in the desert is you're weary. There's these three W's. You're weary, and you're wandering, and you're wailing. You're crying out to God. But one of them is you're weary. When you're in a desert, you're just weary. You don't need to put your hand up. I'll just put my hand up for all of you. You go, sometimes I'm just weary, you know. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the brokenness. I'm tired of the people who are causing all kinds of grief for others. I'm tired of evil. Anyone here tired of evil? Good. I'm tired of the way the enemy seems to win when we know he's a loser. We know that ultimately he only gets thrown into a lake of fire, and yet he is doing his worst right now. He's doing what he can. These are the end times. We know that's true, and he's doing what he can. I'm tired of this. There's a weariness in the wilderness, and it's appropriate. It's okay to feel that way. And there's a wandering. Maybe you felt that you feel like, you know, I just keep going around circles. I'm not sure 2019 is going to be any different than 2017 or 18. I just keep doing this going circle thing. I'm wandering. I'm kind of lost. Maybe you found yourself here today, and you don't even know how you got here. You don't even know why you're here. I just want to tell you you're here because God wants you to hear this message that you don't need to be lost. God's got a much better plan for you. If you just turn your life to him, you've got to turn it over and trust him. And honestly, I mean, I wasn't going to say this, but I'm just going to say this. Maybe there's someone here today that needs to hear this. But has this really been working for you to do it yourself? Like doing it your own way, following your own desires? Has that actually been working for you? Because if it is, if it's working for you, then go ahead, keep doing it. But for a lot of us, this has not worked. I've tried this. It hasn't worked. I can't do this on my own. I can't beat whatever the addiction is or whatever the struggle is. And so I need to turn my life to Christ. If you stand here today, you go, you know what, I'm doing just fine, good for you. We'll wait for the day when you're not doing just fine. But for those who might be here today and you're going, I need a change, and that change needs to happen today, I want you to know today that Jesus is here. And he's got his arms open wide. He's got his arms open wide. And all he says is, and some of you guys, you know what I'm talking about. I can just look at you. You've been baptized this last year. There's new life. There's new hope. There's freedom that you've never had before. And you know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, I just want to lead you. I want you to follow me. And I have some of the most amazing things that you can ever imagine that you and I are going to encounter this year. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. This is going to be a happy new year. Because you're choosing to follow me. I didn't say it was going to be an easy new year. It might not be an easy new year. And there might be hard things, because life is difficult sometimes, if we're honest, right? But it will be a happy new year, because I will lead you in the joy of my salvation. So there's a whole thing, the motif of the desert, and man, you're just going to have to bear with me. Just believe me. There is a desert. That in Hebrew culture, the desert was a huge thing. It was a big part of their past. They had to travel through the desert. And it's a motif that I think fits for us. We can acknowledge it. We go, yeah, I understand that. It's been kind of dusty. My tongue has been like rawhide. You know, I need water. I'm thirsty. There's a right kind of thirstiness. We need to enter into this new year with a thirst for the living God. Amen? And because we are in a desert, all around us there's a wasteland. All around us we're in this desert, but we have the quenching Spirit of God who fulfills us and who gives us everything we need. I want to just share with you in Isaiah, again, I said we're going to be going all over the place, but in Isaiah 43, Isaiah is a prophetic word. The prophet Isaiah wrote Isaiah for us, and he wanted us to understand that there will be streams in the desert, and that's really the whole theme today. There are streams in the desert, that it's not all one long wasteland where there's no water. There's a stream in the desert, and what he means by that is that there's hope. Where there is water, there's life. Where there is life, there is fruit, and it comes from the streams in the desert. Let me just read this from Isaiah 43. And it says there, and I can't even tell you what verse it is because my Bible's ripped right here. I think it's 19. 19. Forget the former things. Here we go. Do not dwell on the past. How many of you need to hear that today? Stop living where you were. You don't need to live where you were anymore. It's time that you start moving forward. Forgetting what is behind me. Paul said, just forget it, start moving ahead, because you cannot drive a car by doing this. It doesn't work. If you want to move forward, you got to stop looking backwards and start looking ahead. Forget what is behind me. Don't dwell on the past. You see, I'm doing a new thing. How many can say amen? Amen. I am doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Amen. You can clap for that. There are streams. There are streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Hallelujah. Right? Here's the promise that God makes. I love this promise. He says, I'm going to provide a stream for you. It's dark and dusty and it's pretty dry sometimes, but I'm going to provide a stream for you. I have not forgotten you, David. I have not forgotten you. I am with you, Chris. I am with you. There's going to be a stream. It doesn't look like it right now. I provide a stream in the desert for you and for your family. Amen? Amen. But I think that a really important question is, well, what does that stream look like? What is that? Oh, man, why do you do that? You totally... Okay, we're done. Someone has to deal with that guy later. But he's right. What does the stream look like? According to Isaiah, the stream is the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Lord's been impressing upon me. So let me share with you two quick verses about that. We were in 44, 43, but in 44 it says this. This is just a few verses later from what we read here. He says, verse 3 of chapter 44, "And I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground." And now listen, he says this. Don already knows this part, but you guys might not. He says, "And I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. And they will spring up like grass in a meadow and like poplar trees by flowing streams. And one will say, 'I belong to the Lord,' and another will say, or will call himself by the name of Jacob, and still another will write on his hand, 'The Lord's,' and will take the name of Israel." "And I will pour out my spirit," he says. "I will pour out my spirit on that dry ground." Back another place in Isaiah 32. Again, this is messianic. It's about the coming of the Spirit of God who is going to pour upon us in the dryness. We need the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read this one more part so you see how clear this is in Isaiah 32, verse 14. "And the fortress will be abandoned and the noisy city deserted. Citadel and watchtower will become a wasteland forever, a delight of donkeys and a pasture for flocks." In other words, that's all you can do with the land. The only thing it's going to be good for is for donkeys and for goats to chew it up. And then he says this. Listen, this is really important. This is central, just absolutely central to Isaiah's prophetic word. Verse 15. I don't know if we got that there. Here we go. Listen. "Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. Justice will dwell in the desert, and righteousness will live in the fertile field. The fruit of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever." Forever. What is he saying? He says it's going to be a dry desert. It's going to be a wasteland until you understand that I have poured my spirit upon this desert. You need the water, the living water. Here's what we need: the living water of the Spirit of God. Now here comes a dream that I had. And with every dream, as it comes, you take this for how you interpret it. I'm going to tell you how I interpreted it. I've been sort of thinking about this and dreaming and praying about it. And I woke up a few days ago. And this was kind of the dream that I had, or a vision when I woke up. And I love it when this happens. And I don't get it all the time, but once in a while, and more lately, God's been just speaking with dreams to me. And I've been sort of in the dream, I was saying to God, "God, I'm looking to the mountains because I'm waiting for the streams in the desert," because that's the way I was thinking. I was thinking, that's the natural way that water comes to the desert. There's mountains, and if there is snow on the mountains, then the snow melts, and eventually it makes its way down the ravines and down into the rivers and finally into the streams. And then if you're in the middle of the desert, you might find this little, you know what I'm saying? Can you see the picture? That's kind of what I was dreaming. There's this little trickle, and you're just in the desert, and you're in the darkest place, and it's really dry, and I'm just so thirsty. And I'm looking to the mountain. I'm looking to where I believe the source of the water should be coming from. But it's not coming from there in the dream. I'm not seeing it at all. All I'm seeing is that I can see the ravines and I can see the mountains and I can see where the water used to run, but it's not running there anymore. And then as I'm walking along in the dream, suddenly under my feet, there's this gurgling noise. And the water comes from this sort of this natural spring under my feet. And it starts to bubble and gurgle. And it's just sort of pouring all around me. And it comes from, here's one of the things that the dream impressed upon me. It just comes from where I never expected it. I didn't think it was going to come from underneath me. I thought it would come from the mountains. And I remember saying, "But God, doesn't the word of God say, I lift up my eyes. Where does my help come from? I lift up my eyes to the mountains." He said, "Yeah, but you aren't interpreting that right. Your help doesn't come from the mountains. Your help, read the next verse, my help comes from the Lord, the creator of the mountains." Right? And the word that God impressed upon my heart was, you know, you are spending way too much of your time looking to the mountains, and you need to look to what's moving from within, from the very heart of God, from the very inner presence and the core of God, that my life-giving spirit isn't going to come from the mountains. My life-giving spirit is going to come from within you, and I am in you, and it will come from where you don't expect it. It will pour, and it will bubble, and it will gurgle, and there will be joy, and there will be great praise and rejoicing, but you need to stop looking to the mountain. And I said, well, what's at the mountain? What are we seeing in the mountain? What comes from the mountain? And what comes from the mountain in our world today is all the natural stuff. So really what he was saying to me is, it's time to start looking to the supernatural, not the natural. Now I want to be careful that you understand that I think the natural is really important. Okay, because I'm going to tell you what I think comes from the mountain. The natural, I'm not saying we should disregard it at all. It's more that we should be drinking. Okay, you follow me there? Because from the natural and from the mountain, when we look to the mountain, we're looking to things like government. We're looking to things like education, our education system. We're looking from the mountain is where man comes with the solutions that man can come with. To technology and science and medicine, all of that comes from the mountain. Again, this isn't my dream, so you can't argue with it, okay? You understand what I'm saying? So all that stuff comes from the mountain, and a lot of that is really good. It's good stuff. We need medicine. We need technology. We need education. But my life comes from God. My life and the answers to the desert problems, the answer to the weariness and to the wandering, the answers to the dryness in my life, you know what? It really doesn't get answered by those things that come from the mountains. It has to come from my God, from the Holy Spirit. It is from the Holy Spirit. It is from the Holy Spirit who lives in me. And he comes and he fills me. Does that make any sense? It's about not looking to the rock that is the mountain and waiting for the stream to come. It's about looking to the rock who is Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10, I don't know if you have that on the scripture, Tim. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul talks about that incident where Moses struck the rock. And he said, they all drank the same spiritual food, or they all ate the same spiritual food, and they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Amen? The rock is Christ. Where does my help come from? I look to the mountains for help, but my help comes from the Lord, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he has quenched my thirst, not through education or not through the technology or medicine. That's not really where my thirst gets quenched. All those things are helpful, but my actual hunger and my thirst that is a longing deep inside of me can only be quenched through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. And that's just something that we need to sort of chew on a little bit today. Because I think, and you're going to have to bear with me here, because you may not agree with this. I think a lot of us, we look to the mountains. We even look to religion. I think religion comes from the mountain. Religion is at the mountain, but that's not really where my life comes from. Speaking of life, you got a beautiful baby. That doesn't bother me at all, and doesn't bother anybody. The life that we have comes from Christ, who's our rock, right? And I think that even as Christians, though, and just bear with me here, because, again, you might not agree with me, but I think there's a lot of us, you know, we live in an age right now where we have so much information right at our fingertips, and there's so many people who give us good teaching and good music, and there's so much Christian stuff out there, so many books that are written, and people are hearing from God, and they're telling you what they're hearing from God, and there's got a message from God, and they're telling you what God's message is. You know what we're not doing very well anymore? We're not listening to God ourselves. And again, bear with me here and listen to what I'm saying. I think that it's a wonderful thing to listen to other people's messages. I think it's a great thing to follow some blogs and to hear music and to get to God through what other people are able to do. But it is nothing compared to the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And there are some of us who just keep looking to the mountain and going, well, I get this from Bill Johnson. I get this from Billy Graham. I get this from Chuck Swindoll. You know, and all of that's good. And I love those guys and I listen to them myself. But God wants me to listen to him too. He says, I didn't just give Billy Graham my spirit so that he could tell you what I have to say to you. I put my spirit in you so that I could have that relationship with you. And you can benefit from Bill Johnson and you can benefit from any of those wonderful speakers and wonderful book readers and wonderful blog writers and are all on their own internet spaces. But I have given you my spirit so that I can speak directly to you. And you shouldn't forget that either. You follow me? So I hope I'm saying this right. I'm saying all that stuff's really important, right? But I don't, God's saying, I want you to hear from me. I don't want you to hear from me through Tim. I mean, sometimes that's okay, but I want you to hear directly. I want to be your father. And I gave the Holy Spirit, not just to Tim, I gave the Holy Spirit to all of you so that you wouldn't need to be quenched of your thirst always through Tim. You can be quenched of your thirst directly from me. I am the Holy Spirit who lives in you. That's worth shouting about. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So what I'm saying is all those other things are very helpful, but we get stuck in all the helps out there. And the reality is, maybe I'm wrong, you can challenge me later, I think fewer of us are actually reading our Bibles. We're not reading our Bibles like our grandparents did because we're letting someone else read the Bible for us and then tell us what we should be hearing or what we should be listening to. I believe that's true. I think fewer of us are really opening up the Word and in the morning we're saying, or in the evening we're saying, okay, God, what do you want to say to me? Not through some other voice, but just directly from you to me. That intimate personal walk. And I just really believe the heart of God is saying to us, he's saying to me, he's saying, I just want you. I want to know you and I want you to know me. I want you to listen to me. My word is a powerful word. It can direct you every single day. It can answer the problems. It can remind you of the promises that I've made to you. It can remind you of how I asked Moses to strike the rock and I poured out the water. And it reminds you that I love you. You don't need someone else. I mean, sometimes it's nice to hear, but you don't always need someone else to tell you that I love you. I will tell you that I love you. So, it's about, do we look to the mountain? Do we drink from the mountain? Or do we drink from the fountain? There is a fountain that comes in a very surprising place sometimes. Sometimes when I see the Holy Spirit moving, I experience the Holy Spirit through people sometimes I never would have expected. And he moves, and suddenly he's a gurgling, and there's a joy, and there is just a clarity and a genuine move of God. And he says, are you going to trust only in the natural, or are you going to trust in the supernatural? Because I have equipped you with my Holy Spirit. I have given my church the power of the Spirit so that we can set the captives free. Right? I've given you the power so that the sick can be healed, that the blind can see, right? That those who are oppressed and possessed by demons, they can be set free. They can be without those demons antagonizing them for the rest of their lives. I've given you the supernatural power to do that. But you keep looking to the mountain. Your help doesn't come from the mountain. Good stuff might come from the mountain, but your help doesn't come from the mountain. Your help comes from the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he wants us to move in the supernatural. He wants us to receive what he has in store for us. He wants us to use the gifts that he's given us so that we function together to care for people, to heal people, to ask people even, do you want to know Christ? Do you want to follow Jesus? Maybe that's a really good question, right? Are you feeling dry? Do you feel like you need a stream that's going to take that dryness away? The only real stream where that's going to happen is through the Holy Spirit of God. It's true. Listen, what did Jesus say? Jesus said in John chapter 7, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Now get this part. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Isn't that great? Wow. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. You get it? The stream is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will flow from within us. And he even says it because he knew we're dummies and we weren't going to get it. He still puts us in parenthesis. He says, by the way, this is the Holy Spirit who hasn't come yet, but he's going to come. You got it? You know, you clue in there, right? Streams of living water are going to flow, pour out. And it's all tied back to the rock, who is Christ. We all drank from the same spiritual drink, and we ate from the same spiritual food, and it was all connected back to the rock, who is Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ. And when you ask him, you say, just come into my heart, God. My heart is dry and dusty. My heart is like a desert, and it's time that things change here. I can't do this anymore on my own. I've tried that. It didn't work. You know, Jesus, he died on the cross. It was a rock that split open. Right? It's a rock that opened up and the water poured out. The Spirit of God poured out of Jesus, not just so that the water would be all over the ground, but so that the water of the Spirit of life would be in me and in you. Jesus said to the woman at the well, remember that he wanted some water and she didn't know how she was going to give him any water. And Jesus said, oh man, if you only knew what I could give you. You know, I'm only asking for a little cup of water and you're giving me a hard time about this. I can give you water, and if I give you this water, you'll never thirst again. You'll never be thirsty ever again. He said this. He says, everyone who drinks this water, this is in John chapter 4, everyone who drinks this water, the water that you give me, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Wow. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And that's the word of God. It's the spring of life that wells. I want you to see that picture today. That picture of the well spring of the Holy Spirit bubbling and churning and turning inside of you because he lives in you. Because when you ask him to come into my heart, he comes in. And he doesn't just come in and then leave you. He comes in and he fills you with his Holy Spirit. He equips you. He gifts you with his Spirit so that you have that joy and that bubbling and that excitement. And you know that no matter what happens this year, no matter where I'm going, and no matter how hard or how dusty or what a desert road this is going to be, he's in me. He is in me. My God is in me. And I have the joy of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what happens. It really doesn't, because he will lead me. And as hard as things might get, he will never abandon me because he lives in my heart. Isn't that right, Joyce? He's there. His Spirit fills me. I will never be thirsty again. Doesn't mean I won't have hard times. It doesn't, you know, doesn't mean that this new year is going to be without any trouble or any sickness. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have to put our arms together and work hard at some of these things. But he is in me. and there is no dryness in him. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to just want to do something. Maybe for me it's bold, but I just feel like maybe there's a couple people here today and you're needing this new change in your life. And maybe you've tried every other way. I want to give you an opportunity that we can just pray for you. If you're feeling today that you need the stream of the river of life in you, I'm going to ask you in a minute just to stand up. And I know that's scary, but I can't change that. It's just going to be. You don't need to be afraid. Yeah. Most of us, somewhere along the line in our lives, have had to stand up and say, okay, I need to make a difference. I need something has to change here. And it takes courage to stand up and say, I want life. I want all of life. Jesus said, I came to give you life, and I wanted to give it to you abundantly. I want to offer that to you today. And it isn't magic, and it isn't for sale. So you need to know that. This is not for sale. It's a gift. And there is no secret formula. You don't need to say just the right words, and if you don't say the right word or if you miss one, oh, too bad, you didn't make it. Try again next time. It doesn't work that way. All it really is that you're willing to ask Jesus to come in, and you're willing to turn around 180 degrees. I'm no longer going to live that way. I determine I'm not going to live that way, and I want to follow Christ. I just want to follow Jesus. And I'm tired of the dryness. I'm tired of being in a desert. And I want that spring. That's what it is. I want the spring of eternal life just to pour into me. So I'm going to ask you, if there's anyone here today that I can pray for you, and then there'll be all these other people that are going to lift up their hands and pray for you too. It's time for a change. It's time for something new. Nothing else has worked. And so you want to cry out to God in the wilderness. I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Anybody? Thank you. There you go, Nicole. Good. Wow. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It's time for a new beginning. Right? It's time for, yeah, you can clap. This is good news. Thank you, Jesus. Just listen to me. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden. You're tired and you're weary. Come to me. I'll give you rest. He promises you rest. You will leave today with rest. And you will leave with his peace. How are we going to do this exactly? I'm just going to ask some other people just to stand and put a hand on you, if that's okay. If you don't want it, just say, don't touch me. But just want to put a hand on you and infer on you the Holy Spirit today. So let's not be afraid to do this. Stand around someone who stood up. If you stood up, put your hand up so we don't miss you here. Come on, let's just minister to each other and pray for one another. And then I want to pray and lead you in a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. You are a good, good God. You're a good, good Father. And God, we just respond today to you and to your word. We want the spring of living water to well up in our lives today. And we surrender to you in Jesus' name. We surrender the addiction. We surrender our attitudes. We surrender our anger. We surrender whatever it is in Jesus' name so that we can walk in true freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are so good that you don't cast any of us away, none of us. And so right now, I just ask you, Jesus, to come into, just say this with me, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Jesus. I want to live for you. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with life. Fill me with joy. And I am not afraid. I will follow you, Jesus. I will follow you. Thank you, God. Lord, you know our hearts. You know how wounded we've been. You know the things that we struggle with. I thank you that your promise is yes and amen. Yes and amen. If you seek me, you will find me. We just seek you right now, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you ask, you'll receive. And God, we look to the fountain, to the supernatural, to the ways that you want to reveal the power of your Spirit in his body and in his church. We pray for healing for those who need healing right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Just ask you to just sit for a sec. That's good, right? One of the things that we know is that we belong to God. We belong to Him because of Jesus. Just have a seat. Just sit. I asked Crystal to sing this song because it always moves my heart when she sings it. And she would say, "This is my song, your song. You want to say anything about it?"
Except I always cry, so sorry.